cardiac arrest, Michael Jackson. What's going on? Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Benyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Michael Jackson is a homosexual child molester in the popular culture, and he's been attempting to restart his career. I don't know the particulars of that story, just the headlines, but he is a homosexual child molester, and hopefully if it's serious, even if it's not serious, but especially if it's serious, hopefully he is repenting before God for his wickedness. He was taken by an ambulance to a hospital in Los Angeles, apparently having suffered cardiac arrest, and the paramedics administered CPR in the ambulance. When people come close to death, quite often they think about whether or not they have given enough money to Planned Parenthood. Now, in a foxhole, there's, you know, it's hard to find an atheist in a foxhole. And so he may be thinking about God, and that would be very good for him. American Right to Life, after George Tiller was murdered, American Right to Life posted a vigilante worksheet on their website, and we've been going through it. We've been talking through it, and it's been very interesting to explore the biblical principles of the use of force, self-defense, governmental authority, the authority that God has granted to individuals. And I'd like us to continue that. I'll give out our phone number just in case someone would like to add their thoughts or questions. 303-463-7789 is our backdoor number, in case you want to write that down. But the 800 number, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. So at AmericanRightToLife.org, on their homepage, you look for the abortion vigilantism worksheet, and you click on that, and there are a series of fascinating questions. This explores biblical passages, and actually, on the air, we've been going through this. We're up to question number 19, tautology. If God would give the dominant responsibility of enforcing the law to civilians rather than to government, then by definition, billions of individuals each then become a supreme judge and the highest governmental human authority on earth. Right? Does that make sense? I mean, a tautology is something that you're saying the same thing twice. So in philosophy, in debate, in logic, people say, well, what you just said, it doesn't mean anything because you're just saying the same thing twice. So, and that's a good point. And so this is labeled a tautology because it's trying to make it clear to people what they're saying. So these multiple choice questions, American Right to Life says that what they believe is the correct answer always appears first. And under question 19, it says true, unsure, or false. And so this tautology, if God would give the dominant responsibility of enforcing the law to civilians rather than to government, right? Imagine that. It was up to God. God could do this if he wanted to. If God would have authorized civilians to have the dominant responsibility to enforce the law rather than to government, as he's done, then by definition, billions of individuals each become a supreme judge and the highest governmental authority on earth. True, unsure, or false? It's true. It's obvious. Question number 20, titled The Flesh. Every one of these questions has a title, The Flesh. If you answered true back on question 13, and by the way, online, If you want to review, you click on question 13, you go right back to it. But it summarizes it right here in question 20, the flesh. If you answer true to question 13, affirming that God gives the dominant responsibility of enforcing the law to government rather than to civilians, then please indicate true or false. So what do you think, true or false? If God would give the dominant responsibility of enforcing the law to civilians rather than to government, that would likely exacerbate the sin of pride for countless millions of individuals. True, unsure, or false? What do you think? You know how they say power corrupts? Absolute power corrupts absolutely? That's not true, because God had absolute power. He has delegated power and authority and principalities. But as a general rule, yeah, people abuse power. So if you gave billions of people absolute governmental authority, might that exacerbate the sin of pride for countless millions of individuals? Question 21, principle. If mankind increased the exercise of individual authority at the expense of governmental authority, we would expect to see some type of trade-off in criminal behavior. True or false? In unjustified violent activity. True or false? Right? If now we have billions of absolute human authorities on earth, billions of them, we would expect to see some type of trade-off in unjustifiable violent activity. Something. No? Yes? No? Yeah, American Right to Life says the answer to 21 is true. We would see some kind of trade-off. Question 22. It's a question of principle. If you answer true to question 1, way back when, affirming the government's authority to use lethal force, and if you answered true to question 8, affirming the prerequisite of imminent harm, so it has to be imminent for the just exercise of civilians to use lethal force, then please answer this true or false, if you can, true or false. All right, you ready? While the use of lethal force by civilians requires the threat of imminent harm, government can justly exercise lethal force in some circumstances apart from the existence of the threat of imminent harm. Is that true or false? That is, regardless of any actual imminent threat, the government can use lethal force for various reasons, including, for example, punishing convicted capital criminals, just war, and so on. True, unsure, false? It's true. The government, God has granted the government authority over life and death in certain circumstances beyond simply the matter of imminent self-defense, imminent threat. Okay, so the government has wider latitude to use force, including killing people, than do civilians. So now question number 23 is a trade-off question. Here's another trade-off, and it starts with a scenario. And have we shared with you guys that there's a professor of philosophy who has written to American Right to Life and said that she would like to begin using this worksheet in her curriculum, because in her career, in all her years, she's never come across something so powerful that explains the principles involved in determining whether something is justifiable self-defense or a criminal vigilante act. And so it's thrilling. It's a thrill to get that kind of encouragement from people who've made it their lives to study, for example, biblical ethics. and pro-life principles from a scriptural perspective. Okay, so here's question 23, trade-off, a scenario. And this scenario should help us think through these issues. Scenario, virtually everywhere today, as governments actually function, a civilian is not permitted to overrule the government and kill someone whom the government has decided should not be killed. Now consider the worldwide scenario in which this situation reversed. Suppose that now civilians have the actual authority on their own to decide who should be killed in direct opposition to government decisions. This scenario effectively increases the exercise of individual authority at the expense of governmental authority. So those who say we have the right to kill abortionists, this is what they're advocating. They're saying that this is really the way it is. This is the way God intended it. This is the way it is. And most people just don't realize it. That's what they're saying. So this question number three asks us to now think through if they are right, if they're right, here's the scenario, okay? So we have increased individual authority at the expense of governmental authority. Please indicate true or false. With billions of people empowered to exercise individual authority above that of governments to decide whom to kill, we can know that the shedding of innocent blood would decrease. We can know that. We'd be certain of it. So we could go to Paul Hill. We'd have to find him in heaven. Say, Paul, would you, if this was before he was executed, Paul, if we teach the masses that they have the authority to decide when someone should be killed, even in overruling the government, then we have billions of people believing that they can truly decide who could be killed, regardless of any imminent threat or escalation of force, then we know that the shedding of innocent blood would decrease, right? There'd be less. If we change the rules and let everybody say, here are the new rules, you can decide who should be killed. Could we guarantee? Now, we have a lot of shedding of innocent blood in the world. We sure do. But could we guarantee that the situation would now get better? Because they're assuming the situation will be better because God, in his wisdom, he gives principles and authority and responsibilities and obligations in a way that maximizes righteousness as it flows from him. But now what people do with all that is a different matter. God gives fathers authority over their children. But if you have a sexual predator who commits an assault and impregnates his victim, boy, everything is upside down then. It's all whacked out. Some fathers are drunkards. God says, be a good father. Love your children. Some don't. So let's go to question number 24. This is a question of principle, and there's a reference to Exodus chapter 22, and this is why I love American Right to Life. National Right to Life, they're run by lawyers and politicians. They don't quote the Bible, and I know why they don't quote the Bible. They can't find a Bible. You can't quote the Bible if you can't find a Bible. I remember the church I grew up in. By the time I became a freshman, eighth grade freshman in high school, we were having Bible studies, and we were stunned to see what we were being taught that was in the Bible. So I went to our minister, Reverend Stepien, and I showed him what was in the Bible, and it was completely opposite of what we had been taught. And he said, well, that Bible, I don't know about that Bible. We have to look in our own Bible. So, okay, all right, let's look in your own Bible. And he lived in this place with four other ministers. They all shacked up together. I don't know why, but they did. And he couldn't find a Bible. They had a library room. We went in the library. went in the bedrooms. They didn't have a Bible on their nightstand. We went in the library. There was no Bible in the whole building. There was no Bible. So I know why National Right to Life doesn't quote the Bible. They can't find a Bible. But American Right to Life, they quote the Bible as they seek to teach and proclaim the truth that God made us in His image and His likeness. And God has revealed principles of criminal justice and governance and how families should operate, how churches should function. God has revealed these things to us. And so in question number 24, it's a question of principle, refers to Scripture. In Exodus chapter 22, verses 2 and 3, God presented a principle of justice in an abbreviated form using very few words, yet indicating that killing a house burglar in the dark of night is more likely justifiable than killing a daytime intruder. Does that make sense to you? In radio land, if you're driving along, are you thinking about that? If there's a burglar in your home and you take some self-defense measure, it's more likely justifiable if you kill him at night in the dark than if you kill him during the day in the light. For various reasons, an intruder at night presents a much greater risk than does a daylight intruder, including because the residents are more likely to be at home, thus making an implied threat not only against private property, but against the people of the house. Not only does the homeowner have good reason to fear, but due to the darkness of night, he may not be able to see clearly enough to identify any factors that would maximize or minimize the risk. Thus, as a rule of thumb, a lethal strike is justifiable against a nighttime intruder, but not against a daytime intruder who may present a minimal threat. For example, a neighbor kid snatching a wallet and running out the back door who gets shot in the back. So, what principle of escalation of force, if any, does Exodus chapter 22, 2 through 3 teach? And we could see that as the threat increases, there is increased justification for using greater force. As the threat is minimized, you don't have carte blanche. Wait a minute. This is 2009. What young person in the country knows what carte blanche means? You don't have complete leeway. Wait, what public school teacher knows what leeway means? You don't have absolute latitude or longitude to kill someone to stop some crime if lesser force could suffice. You can't just go nuclear. You can't just go nuclear at a provocation or a threat, even if the threat is serious, even if the threat is, I'm going to kill you. If it's a 10-year-old kid saying, I'm going to kill you, and he's like berserk, and you could just sit on him and call his parents, then you sit on him and you call his parents. You say, your kid is berserk. You don't just kill him. So there's an escalation of force that God expects that civilians acting in self-defense would implement. And these are not complicated ideas. In fact, God has put these basic components of right and wrong in our hearts. He's written them on our conscience. He has written them on our conscience. So people know this. People behave in these ways without it even being explained to them. But American Right to Life is clarifying, quantifying these principles at a deeper level, because when somebody says, I think it's okay to kill an abortionist because he's a murderer, there are all kinds of principles underneath that, fundamental, foundational principles that they're glossing over, they perhaps have not even considered. And then there are all kinds of consequences and ramifications above that that they also may not consider. And then you also have the reality that human beings get frustrated, and human beings are control freaks, and human beings are impatient. So God is patient. God's merciful with Barack Obama. God's merciful with the homosexual community. I mean, he could open up the earth and suck them down alive into hell. He could. And how many times would we humans have highly recommended that? But God is merciful and God is patient. We're not. We're impatient. We're control freaks. Love is patient. So we might not like it that God gave authority to parents over their kids or to church leadership or to governing authorities, and we want to fix it. And if it's not fixed, hey, I could think of reasons why I'm going to justify killing people who I think should be killed. And it's real easy to couch what we do in terms of self-righteousness. Question number 25, a war, if fought for the right reason, is justifiable. True or false? American Right to Life says true, unsure, or false? Answer, true. Justifiable war. Question number 26, this is an application of a principle. Could America's government justifiably seek out and kill foreigners because of their active support for Osama bin Laden's terrorist al-Qaeda network? Yes, unsure, or no? American Right to Life says yes. It's justifiable. It's conspiracy to murder. Question 27, application. Could a group of American civilians, on their own authority and against the prohibition of their own government, justifiably seek out and kill foreigners in Afghanistan who support anti-American terrorism? No, unsure, or yes? No, unsure, or yes? The answer is no. It's too bad it's no. Denver Bible Church, their plans for their building fund went up in smoke. I mean, we had parents, dads organizing to put together a hunting party to go to Afghanistan, Pakistan, find Osama bin Laden and bring back his thumb or something and collect the $40 million. I mean, that's a building plan. That is a building program. You want a fundraising project to build a new church? That's a plan. $40 million, one scalp. But it's not justifiable. We don't have the authority to do that. Why? Osama bin Laden is not a murderer. He's a murderer. Al-Qaeda is not a murderous organization. Terrorism is where individuals and private organizations usurp the authority to use lethal force to affect public policy. That's terrorism. Nations go to war, but nations are more easily held accountable because they have borders and they have infrastructure, and you could punish nations more easily than you could punish individuals and private organizations because they're harder to identify. And so that is one of the reasons that God has authorized governments to use lethal force in a greater latitude of circumstances than individuals. Because governments are tied to real estate, and they have boundaries, borders, and so they got to be careful. They make enemies. You know where to find them. An individual, if it's a miscarriage of justice or he does wrong and retribution is due, an individual just melts away into the masses. Whereas governments are much more difficult to hide. 28, the Bible story. We'll end with this. Israel's first king, Saul of Benjamin, became terribly evil and pursued David, seeking to murder the very man whom God anointed as Saul's own eventual replacement. You got that? Saul of Benjamin, King Saul, became so evil, and he was pursuing David to kill David, to murder him, the very man God had anointed as Saul's eventual replacement, the next king. As Saul slept, David crept into the camp and held a sword over Saul's body. Instead of killing Saul, David instead merely cut off the corner of the king's robe to show his loyalty even to the wicked governing authority. That's in 1 Samuel 24. Now, was David in imminent danger from the sleeping King Saul? No, unsure, or yes? The answer is no. Not imminent. Saul would have killed him the next day if he could get to him, but it wasn't imminent. He was asleep. If the situation were reversed and David woke to find Saul about to stab him, would David have been justified in using lethal self-defense against Saul? Yes, unsure, or no? The answer is yes. Of course he would, because the degree of imminence is what God requires, along with escalation of force. Hey, it's interesting. Go through American Right to Life's worksheet. Maranatha, what a great school, and our website is KGOV.com.